Hello again, everybody. Welcome into Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're on the Game Nashville app as well. I'm not Ryan Porth. Ryan Porth is off this week. Chase McCabe in for him and joined by my good friend from Fox Sports Tennessee. You see her on the broadcast of the Predators, Kara Hammer, a.k.a. Hammer Time, in the house. Hi, Kara.
Hi, Chase. How's it going?
It's going well. We're live at Boomba's here in East Nashville. We got a crowd on hand that's excited for us and for Smashville Live coming up a little bit later. But we got a lot to get into because the trade deadline, it has come and gone. This team looks pretty much the same. They did add a little bit, but for the most part, looking the same, and that is what they're going to go with for the next 20 games. And you know what? They started off with a big win last night against Ottawa at Bridgestone Arena.
I think last night's win was so big, especially coming off of that trade deadline. They didn't do hardly anything. We lose Matt Irwin, but they pick up Kirby and Holzer.
Yep.
So just defenseman for defenseman almost seems evenly traded across. But I feel like last night, we talked to the players before the trade deadline, and they said, hey, that Monday, that was a really anxious day.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys on the team, and I think none of us really knew exactly. Oh, is that me?
Yeah, that's you. Getting real loud in here.
There I am.
and I talked to, I talked to a lot of the players and actually had this conversation with Hal Gill yesterday of when the trade deadline passes, just the stress that comes off the players that – and it's not so much whether they're going to get traded, but the guy next to you, you know, on either side, are they going to be here? And David Poile's been very active the last few years because they've been in that go-for-it mode and trying to add and tweak the roster. And it's not that they're not in go-for-it mode now, but David Poile has also been very clear. He likes his roster. I mean, he likes the team that he's put together. And now with the coaching change, it's been over a month. You can definitely tell that there's a buy-in. There's a swagger in that locker room. You and I are talking to the guys all the time. We're in and out of there. There's a difference now.
Yeah.
And so you can tell that this coaching change has really started to take effect. And so I think he looks at it and he goes, you know what? I'm leaving the dance with the ones I came with. So I'm not going to make changes.
I like it. I think the most interesting thing about the trade deadline is when you look in the years past, they picked up more of like an enforcer type guy. You pick up like a Brian Boyle or a Wayne Simmonds. This year, they didn't really bring anybody in like that. So I think they're going solely off of skill, talent, and speed.
Yeah, and that's exactly what this team is built for. And you can tell that John Hines is starting to find what the strengths of each of his players are, and he's putting them in a position to succeed. Now, he's challenging them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, we have seen some guys that are making a lot of money. Their minutes have been reduced, and he's like, hey, you earn your minutes. That's how I work. And he said that from the very beginning. I like that about him. And it's not that Peter Laviolette didn't act that way. It's just now the message is a little bit different. And he's basically telling these guys, you want to play, you earn your time. Like a guy like Kyle Turris that we saw as a healthy scratch earlier this year, he's earned his time. He's earned his minutes.
I was really impressed with the game last night and how fast Ryan Johansson's line came out, because that's a player who had seen time decreased, especially Victor Arvidsson scoring the power play goal in the second period. Another guy that – those are the guys that you need to step up. And when they weren't stepping up, they weren't playing.
Kara, not only did they score on the power play once, they scored on the power play twice. That's two times on the power play.
It was huge.
And look, special teams, you know, you bring up, like last year, you'd ask the guys about the power play, and they'd be like,
yeah,
we have to talk about this. This year, it's mainly been the penalty kill, that because it's last in the league, but power play still needs some work as well. So bringing it up last night when I talked to Callie Yarncroke of, hey, special teams. I know it's been an emphasis. Well, last night, they killed off penalties. They scored twice on the power play. It was a very good night for special teams. And you could tell that all of those guys were really feeling it, and they were excited about that.
Yeah, I think it was crucial. I mean, they were winning battles in the faceoff. They had a lot of pressure up ice. I agree with you, Chase. Special teams last night helped win that game when it was kind of a sloppy game to start. That first period, Ottawa got on the board, and I know they had a quick response, but it was a 2-1 game heading into the second period.
Yeah, and that was kind of where you got a little nervous, because they were down 1-0, and then Colin Blackwell evens it up 20 seconds later. So it's like, all right, here we go. New game, back going. And by the way, I love Colin Blackwell's game. He has been a nice addition to this team, and he's been in and out of the lineup. They've been trying to find a spot, but I like how he's played. But then, as you mentioned, Ottawa takes the 2-1 lead,
and then get into the second period. And we've seen at times that if they do have a sluggish start, they respond in the second period. I did like the response, especially later in the period. Ryan Ellis, as you mentioned, comes through on the power play and ties it up at two. And that's when things really started to click. And then Victor Arvidsson, RV Hustle, gives the lead to the Predators, and they never look back. Goaltending has gotten much, much better from both UC Saros and Pekka. They have both played well. Pekka got him a point in Chicago. There's no other way to put it. So you definitely like kind of the direction that things are going.
It's trending up. That's what we like to say. Things are trending up. The Preds have won four of their last five games at home. Yep. They have two more games at home this week. And, Chase, they're in a wild card spot.
They are, and that's the big thing. The Predators, as of right now, I'll use that phrase that I hate to use in sports radio, but if the playoffs ended today, or started today, the Nashville Predators are in the playoffs.
Oh,
and so
I like it.
They would draw the St. Louis Blues in the first round, which we did on our midday show on Darren Donick and Chase. I said the teams that I was scared of, which you got to play anybody, so you know you just kind of have to take it, but I'm not really scared of the Blues.
No?
Defending Cup champs, I like the matchups. I like how this team matches up with them. Got a long way to go. We don't need to be playing the matchup game necessarily, but I do like the matchups with the Blues.
But the Preds had a big-time win against the Blues already earlier
this
month.
They swept them. Yeah, they swept them this year. So they won 9 of 14 here lately, and that showed you kind of where things have been going. Head coach John Hines, I think, has really made a difference. He spoke last night after the game about winning 9 of 14.
Well, I think they've been – I think just the ability to stick with it and go through different things. You know, I think even you look at tonight, wasn't necessarily the best start for us. I think Ottawa came out, played hard, and wound up getting the lead, but were able to respond. And I think really figuring out as games continue to go on that there's certain things we have to do better. The guys are responsive to it, and it seems as though when things go well, we stay with it. But also the responses when things don't go well have been more, I'd say, more consistent and more focused on what needs to get done the right way.
That's the big thing to me, Kara, that when things don't go well, this team has responded. There have been so many times in the past, and this is, I used to credit Peter Laviolette for this all the time, that he was really good at when his team just had a bad game, taking it, crumbling it up, throw it in the trash, you go out next time and you take care of business. And they would always respond after, and it was a bad period,
yeah.
You know, not just a game. You're seeing that again. You're seeing that confidence come back with this group. And I'm not saying that's all on John Hines. I think a lot of it is. It's just, you know, mindset. But it's on the players. It's on the Roman Josis and Ryan Ellis, Pekka Rinne's, the leaders in that room, Ryan Johansson, that leadership group. You can just tell that it feels different. It feels like they have that swagger and that confidence back.
It kind of makes you wonder, where did that confidence go? When there was that lull of games, it seemed like they would give up a goal, and
yep.
And the whole game would shift. And all the guys were struggling to come back. The one guy that never went anywhere in this whole process has been Roman Josi.
I mean,
he has spearheaded the defense, and in a lot of games, the offense.
I think what's changed with him, though, is, and this is what I love about Roman, he puts everything on his back,
right?
And he's like, I got to do it. I got to be Superman. I got to go take care of business. I have to win this game for my team. And it's not that he stopped doing that, but he's realizing that he doesn't have to always do that because he's getting help. Because
yeah.
You have other guys that have now bought into that. And it just, this thing with John Hines, it wasn't going to be fixed overnight. I know there were some fans that didn't love the hire and were like, oh, you know, he got fired in New Jersey for, okay, well, you know what? Change of scenery works both ways. And he has been patient. They've been patient with him. And now you can tell that it's all coming together. You get to talk to Coach Hines after every game. What is the biggest thing that you've been able to take away in some of your conversations with him?
I noticed that he's always assessing the game, like he just said in that interview. There's certain things that we have to do better. He's always finding ways to improve the team. He has a talented group of guys, yet he sees where things need to be better because he knows what it's going to take to go to a playoff run. I love the way he talked about the guys last night after the trade deadline question. When I asked him if there was a different level of confidence, he said, there's a level of confidence because now this is the group that is set. It's time for the guys to rally. And he called these next stretch of games team bonding.
Yep.
It's like, this is where we bond as a team, and this is where we fight night in and night out to secure the playoff spot and to make a cup run.
We mentioned special teams earlier. Before we go to the break, I did want to hear John Hines' answer on what he's seen with the power play and if there have been some major tweaks since he got there.
We've probably done more personnel changes. I think the structure of it, they were in a 1-3-1. We're still doing a 1-3-1. We've changed, I think, different guys and maybe delivered the minutes around to different players in certain ways. I'd say the biggest thing is really trying to play quicker on the power play, more of a shot mentality. You know, even like you see the way that we scored tonight, you know, particularly Arvidsson's goal, that's what you have to have is quick puck movement, deliver it to the net. You have your net front and that middle player in there expecting opportunities for rebounds. And I think the big thing is on the power play, you're always going to have opportunities to get quality shots, but it's a lot of times it's shooting for the second or third opportunity that makes it most difficult to defend on the penalty kill, and something we've worked on still needs some improvement, but it looks like it's nice to see him get rewarded to do the right things.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can watch the plays unfold and think, okay, and if you really study it, all right, you can see that it's better. And we saw that earlier in the year that they were getting more opportunities. The pucks weren't going in. Now they get rewarded last night with two power play goals. What's that going to do? That's going to help confidence moving forward with these guys. So I'm hoping that that's a step of another thing that you can check on the list that they had to work on.
I also feel like Hines is a little bit of a risk taker. I mean, now they have three power play units, so they're working. They're going to see what's out there. Look at how much he switched up the lines. I mean, last night Johansson was playing with Blackwell.
Right.
The Jofa line is no longer. I mean, these guys are all moving around.
And I think that's a good thing. I believe that there were times where Peter Laviolette would look at his roster and go, all right, well, I know that works, so I got to keep that there. I have these two power play units, and then you have these guys over here that could be playing on those lines or those power play units, and now John Hines is like, well, you know what, I'm going to use everything.
Yeah.
So it's mixing and matching and finding what combinations work, and now we're starting to see it really pay off. It does, again, doesn't happen overnight. They don't get a lot of practice time this time of year, but I also believe that as they play more games and the schedule is more compact, I think that helps them because they could just keep that rhythm going.
I agree. And I love how he's moved guys that are centermen over to the wings. You know, we've seen Sissons move to the wing. I know Laviolette is the one that put Turris on the wing, but we've kind of seen him go back and forth and find out where they can be successful.
She is Kara Hammer from Fox Sports Tennessee. I am Chase McCabe. It's Preds Insiders in for Ryan Porth tonight. Brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Kerry Zire, Remax Elite, Geno's East in downtown Nashville, and Wyatt Johnson Ford. When we come back, I believe that the Predators didn't need to make an acquisition because of this one guy. We'll talk about that next here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Mr. Arvidsson, scoring on the power play last night to give the Preds a 3-2 win over the Ottawa Senators. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders. We're live at Boomba's Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Smashville Live coming up at the top of the hour. Chase McCabe, Kara Hammer in for Ryan Porth tonight as Ryan is on assignment, as they say. So I said before the break, Kara, that, look, they didn't make a trade. They added Holzer. That was it. They didn't make a big splashy move. Well, you know what? I think that's okay because they didn't need it, because the biggest acquisition that this team has had is the guy that missed 20 games. We saw him go down after the dirty hit, nasty hit, however you want to put it, from Corey Perry at the Winter Classic. Ryan Ellis is back. He gets a point over the weekend, and he scores his first goal on the power play last night. Good to have the beard back in the lineup for the Preds.
Yeah, fear the beard.
Fear the beard.
I even saw some tweets that the beard was looking a little fierce last night.
It does. It looks like he hasn't touched it in a while, which it's that time of year. Some guys will start working on the playoff beard early. We know that Ryan Ellis always has it. But I asked John Hines last week when he came on our show, and it was my first time to get to talk to him. I said, I know he hasn't played a game for you yet, but Ryan Ellis has been around. He's been practicing a little bit. He's been in the locker room. You've been able to talk to him. How valuable has that leadership been for having him around, even though you haven't been able to see him skate yet? And he said it was tremendous. Like, that guy has helped him through the transition of being there, because Ryan Ellis is a leader.
Isn't it crazy when you look at 3 games ago and Ryan Ellis is playing for the first time under Coach Hines? Or do you feel like Hines has been here?
I know.
You know, well, January 7th,
yeah,
Hines came in. So I think Ryan Ellis coming back to the lineup is the thing that they need. I think you're right, Chase. I don't think they needed to make a splashy trade, because They have a good group of guys. They have so much talent. I think the splash came when we got Matt Duchene earlier, you know, to start the season. That was the splash. I think having Ryan Ellis come back just settles things down. Him and Roman work so well together. He's a guy that plays defense and he plays offense. What more do you need?
And he's another voice. He's another voice in the room. You can tell they miss that. And look, at the time, you know, around the Winter Classic, that's when it felt like things were about to have to change and that David Poile was going to have to make a move that he didn't necessarily want to have to make, but was going to have to. You also lose Ryan Ellis. And one thing that Willie Donick has brought up so many times is, listen, when Ellis gets back, I know it's going to take some time for him to get back into the lineup, even though it doesn't seem that way. It seems like he hasn't missed a beat. He is that piece that they're missing. Because you lose P.K. Subban, you replace him with a young Dante Fabro, who I think has had a fine rookie year, but you can tell he's a rookie sometimes. They're growing pains. And now with them having the defensive pairings the way that they do and having Ryan Ellis back in the lineup, I think it's huge for them to be able to now make that push the next 20 games to try and get into the playoffs.
I think you can talk about what Ryan Ellis does. You know, he had the goal in the shootout. He had the power play goal last night. But last night in the third period, they had the lead. They're playing Ottawa. I mean, no offense to Ottawa, but they're playing Ottawa.
Right.
And he goes down, and he's blocking a shot in front of the net. And, you know, all those pucks, they could take guys out at any point in the game. But he's still fighting. And I think when a guy's fighting like that, other players can get behind it.
I think what's so interesting, too, and you see this in any sport, it's not just hockey, but when a guy gets hurt and it's a bad injury and it's, you know, knocked out for a while, especially knowing what we know now about concussions and head injuries, you know, it's very easy to, you know, when you get back in the lineup, you kind of have a little bit of that fear. Like what if it happens again?
Yeah.
I have not seen any of that from Ryan Ellis at all. And he's not built that way. I never expected to see that. I think the doctors and everybody did a great job of making sure, okay, he is 100%. He's good to go. He can go back in there. Because I'm sure he and Roman Josi could have had conversations. Roman has battled that in his career of those types of injuries. But he goes in there, blocks shots, like you said. He's right in the middle of things. I mean, the first game back, you're going, whoa, okay. He's in there, big fella. But
I know.
That's not how he's wired.
No, and I think, you know, when he signed the contract, he came back in and he earned every penny that he signed for.
Sure. And anyone that doubts that, you're not paying attention.
Right.
I have this argument with people all the time. I had it last year when certain, you know, there were people that are like, well, you know, Ryan Ellis, he hasn't been worth the contract. You know, it hasn't worked. He had a career year in points.
Right.
Okay. Go back and watch the tape. Like, he is a valuable part of this team. And I know now that he's back. And John, this is the first time, the last three games, John Hines has his full complement. He has everybody. And now the trade deadline's done. So I know there are a few players in Milwaukee that people will pay attention to that can either come in and help if somebody else goes down, or they can be the black aces, as they call them. But now John Hines, he's got all the bullets, and he's ready to go. And you have seen how that, as I mentioned, 9 of 14 and Ellis in the last three, you have seen how that has worked out. I guess Ellis is on a point streak since he's back. I mean, the Predators have gotten points in every game since he has been back. So definitely big to have him. So speaking of that lineup, you know, again, you're around this team all the time. What do you make of this lineup now that you've seen it a month and a half or a little more under John Hines?
I like it. And just to backtrack for a minute, talking about Milwaukee and talking about the defense, we have to give a shout-out to Jared Tenorti. I mean, this was a guy that came up.
Well, he's
going
to be here tonight, so people can give a shout-out to Jared Tenorti.
We're going
to
preview Tenorti right now. This is a guy that had a chance to come up when players were injured. And what has he done? He's still in the lineup.
Yep.
I love that.
He's every coach's dream. That I forgot who said it, but I heard a coach say that you know, you never want to – a guy is not going to lose a spot due to injury, but you want the guy taking his place not to give the spot back.
Right.
And that's what you look for. That's competition. Jared Tenorti has been that, and he is – I know they liked him in training camp. Like, I remember talking to Peter Laviolette and Kevin McCarthy at the time about him, and they really liked him, liked his size. You know, that was something that they had missed. But ever since he's been up, I mean, and this dude's a beast, 6'6", 230. He has come in, and he's made it very hard to take him out of the lineup. And now that, you know, they added Holzer, Corbinian Holzer, so a little more size to the defensive pairing. So they can rotate some guys in and out. But I know Matthias Ekholm has also been very complimentary playing alongside Tenorti.
I know that the two get along really well. I love last night, Tenorti was the guy I interviewed on the bench during the first period, and I kind of asked him about the game and how it was going, and he said, you know, we just have to do things the right way, and we have to outwork them.
Yeah.
And when you have that mentality that every time you step on the ice, you have to outwork your opponent, things are going to go well, and things are going well for him.
There is something to be said for a guy like Tenorti, a guy like Rocco Grimaldi that I'll get to in a second, that they've had to work for it. Like, they haven't been that first-round pick. They've been those guys that have to come in there, and they have to scratch and claw and go through the call-ups and the send-downs and all of that. So, and I'm not saying that anybody that, you know, was a first-round pick, and like Dante Fabbro came in right out of college, you know, I'm not taking anything away from that either, because he's done his work. But there is something to be said for those underdogs that come through and really make their way into a lineup.
Speaking of an underdog, let's give a compliment to Colin Blackwell, who I didn't realize this until I saw it on Twitter, but last night when he scored his third goal of the season, the first two, sadly, were overshadowed by Pekarinen's goalie goal and Philip Forsberg's lacrosse goal.
Yep. You're right, especially that goalie goal. Because I remember watching that game, and I'm like, all right, Blackwell breaks through. That's awesome. You know.
Yeah.
And then a few minutes later, or later in the game, I'm jumping up and down in my living room screaming Pekka. Because Pekarinen has scored his first career goal. And Jeremy K. Gover, that we all know and love, like I have never seen him do a backflip, but I can promise you I bet he did one when Pekarinen scored a goal.
I love it. I feel like Chris Mason and I, we always talked before the goalie goal about just how bad Pekka wants that.
Yeah.
And then to get it.
And look, Chris Mason and Pekarinen will always be tied together because obviously they did spend some time playing together on two separate occasions. Only two goalies in Preds history to have credit for a goal, but you know, I think Chris will be the first to tell you Pekka earned his. Pekka's was a little bit better than C. Mace's goal. But Rocco Grimaldi gets rewarded a 2-year contract extension. I know I was excited. We actually talked to him a few hours after they announced that, but we know his story. In fact, I was listening to Darren and Willie before I had joined the show, and David Poyle was on, and he goes, well, we told him that he and his wife Abby can get a house because he's not going anywhere. This was last year. He'd earned his spot and wasn't going to be leaving Nashville. And now he gets rewarded again, a bump in pay and a 2-year contract extension.
I love that for them. I think when you hear him talk, he said that they moved like 12 to 15 times in the first year of their marriage or second year. I mean, they've been through a lot, so I'm happy that they've found a place to settle in, and this is such a good fit for him and for his wife, Abby. We saw her perform. She's a singer, and she sang last night in the first intermission of the band stage. So I think the Grimaldis are hopefully here to stay.
Yeah,
we got them for 2 years.
And look, Rocco is one of my favorites to talk to in the locker room. In fact, over the weekend I had one of my friends, her mom and her niece were in town from North Dakota. And so, obviously, big fans of Rocco Grimaldi with the North Dakota ties. And so they were holding up, she's 6 years old, was holding up a sign that says, this North Dakota girl loves Rocco. And they weren't sure if he saw it or not. And so I asked him after the game, I was like, hey, there were some fans of yours here. Did you see it? And he goes, yeah, I did. Actually, that was really cool. Tell him thank you. And he went on and on about it. And that's just Rocco. That's the type of guy that Rocco Grimaldi is. And so you pull for guys like that. And I know he's a big part of what they're trying to do. We all know that line. By the way, have you come up with any names for the line of Nick Bonino, Craig Smith, and Rocco Grimaldi? We've been trying to do that. I asked Craig Smith about it last week on Smashville Live. I asked Rocco about it earlier this week, and they can't come up with anything. We've gotten good suggestions, though, like Goodfellas, Two Men and a Baby was pretty funny.
So I always wanted to be something with, like, Bone Thugs and Harmony or, like, you know, I don't know. I guess I haven't thought about it too much. It has to be, like, American.
Yeah. Well, Team America, you know, something like that. That has definitely been thrown out there. But and that's a line that's, you know, all about hard work, and they're getting it done. And I think that's, you know, Craig Smith, his name was out there because he's a pending unrestricted free agent. But David Poyle was pretty open. And he goes, listen, I heard what other teams were offering, but he's a part of our team, and I think he can help us right now. And Mikhail Granlund, too. So you have to like that they kept those two guys. I think it was – you probably could have gotten something back. But I like that they kept those two guys because I think they're going to be very important moving forward.
Well, I know Nick Bonino, he was ill the last couple of days, so that's why we hadn't seen him in the lineup until last night.
People freaked out, too. Where is he?
Don't worry. He's still here. But that line really hasn't been switched at all.
Yeah.
He's been keeping the what are we going to call them?
The Team America. We'll go with that, right?
Team America. Team America line has stayed together, and they're productive.
They are. They're scoring a ton of goals. You know, Rocco, as we mentioned, you know, having a career year and got rewarded for it. Craig Smith on pace for his 20-plus, as he usually gets. Nick Bonino having the best year from a goal-scoring standpoint that he's had since he's been with the Predators. So they are all chipping in and doing their job, and it's contagious because you can tell that others in the lineup are starting to pick it up too and see how hard those guys have been working. She's Kara Hammer. I am Chase McCabe. We're in for Ryan Porth tonight on Preds Insiders, brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Kerry Zier, Remax Elite, Geno's East in downtown Nashville, and Wyatt Johnson Ford. We are live tonight from Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Smashville Live is coming up here in just a little bit. Corbinian Holzer and Jared Tenorti will be the guests. Willie Donick, Hal Gill, they will anchor that coverage. But we have more Preds Insiders. We're going to get to know Kara a little bit more.
Oh,
it's the getting to know you portion of the show. We're going to do that when we come back. Preds Insiders, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. It is Preds Insiders, a little California love. Is that for Rocco Grimaldi? ESPN 102.5 The Game, Chase McCabe and Kara Hammer in for Ryan Porth tonight. Brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Kerry Zier, Remax Elite, Geno's East in downtown Nashville, Wyatt Johnson Ford. We are live at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House, Smashville Live. Coming up in just a few, Jared Tenorti, Corbinian Holzer will be the guest. So, Hammer time, Kara Hammer. You have been doing this. You've been with the Preds now for 3 years. This is season three, correct?
Season three.
But you've been in Nashville for 5 years now because you were with Channel 2 for a couple of years. So you did it all with them. Did a little bit of the Preds, the Titans. You were part of the preseason coverage for that, Titans on 2.
Yeah.
What's it been like now just covering one thing? You've gone from everything to tunnel vision on one thing.
I get asked this all the time of whether or not I miss working local and covering a lot of the teams. And I don't, because I love this job so much. I love this team. I love going to work every night. I feel like our broadcast crew is, we're friends, we're a family. But on the flip side, I do miss being
around.
We'll
send that to Bob Cole, don't worry. Make sure he hears that.
Yeah, make sure the boss hears that. I do miss being around the Titans, and I had great experiences. I think, you know, I covered the Middle Tennessee-Michigan State game when MTSU was the 2 seed and or 15 seed and upset the 2 seed. And to this day, it's the greatest sporting event I've ever witnessed in real life, and I got to be a part of it.
And you were at Channel 2 during the Cup Final.
Yep.
Right? So you got to cover that. You've been able to watch as a fan the resurgence of the Titans, and obviously now the last 3 years, everything that the Predators have done. It was fun last year because we were all on the road together during the playoffs there in Dallas. So that was, that was neat, you know, that you got to be a part of that. Because usually you just do the home games. But I've noticed every now and then, we see you on the road.
Every now and then they've nicknamed me Road Hammer. So every now and then Road Hammer gets to go on the road.
That sounds like a Chris Mason nickname.
Chris or Hal, I'm not quite sure. One of the two. They've dubbed the Road Hammer. So I do get to go on the road. But when the team was on the Cup run, I did travel with them. And you know, those are memories I will never forget.
So doing this now, what's been the coolest thing of a home game? Coolest moment, whether you're interviewing somebody on the bench or there's some special thing that you're doing, what's been the coolest moment that you've had?
Pecorine's 300th win.
That was a fun one. That was emotional for everyone. Because I remember that. I remember you getting to talk to him on the bench and just that moment and hearing the fans and feeling the energy in that building. I would put that up there too. What was it that stood out to you with that? Was it because you felt like there was a connection at that moment?
I wasn't sure who was going to cry first, me or Pekka. I think it was just the way he looked at me. You could just sense, you know, I asked him how it felt and you could see that he was soaking that moment up. And then, you know, the tears came to his eyes, and it meant so much. And I felt like it was such a monumental moment in his life. And for just 30 seconds on the bench, I got to be a part of that with him.
Yeah, and we all heard that. And then, you know, he comes in the locker room and talks to everyone. I got to do a one-on-one for radio as well. But you got the raw emotion. And that's what's so cool about this job is we try and convey that to people, but, you know, we also, we're fans too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we do this for a reason. There is a reason that we got into this business and we love this business. And so to have those type of moments, and it's fun. Like, it's cool. And Pekka is that person that you can't not pull for.
No.
Like you everybody pulls for him, even though that we're supposed to be journalists and we're supposed to be objective. Pekka Rinne is the nicest human being on the face of the earth, and you pull for a guy like that. So
yeah.
that was such a fun night. And then the goal, like I said, like I was jumping up in my living room of he just scored a goal, and he's tried so many times to do that. And you know, the green light with being up by two goals,
yeah.
And I mean, he nailed it. It was perfect.
He nailed it.
So you want to see those moments. And when I had Matthias Ekholm on Smashville Live earlier this year. You know, one thing that he and I were talking about of obviously you want to win the Stanley Cup for yourself. That's why you play this game. But it's like, yeah, you know, it'd be cool to see Pekka get one. Oh yeah, we all want to win one for Pekka.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Pekka needs to have one because he's been here for so long, and you just so many times a guy like that leaves an organization, people forget. 2004, he was drafted in a round that doesn't exist anymore.
It's crazy.
And if you look, have you ever looked at the team picture with him in 2005 and he looks like a baby in the back row? He'd come up for like two games, but that's a pretty cool moment.
Yeah.
So as you get to know these guys, like who do you have? Like I have some go-to guys that I know whether win, lose, draw, doesn't matter. I can point out a couple guys that I'll go to and I know that. They'll give me an interview, give me what I need. Do you have those guys, or have you kind of built relationships with everybody? Because it's a little different from the TV side.
It is. I have a relationship with all the guys on the team. I think there's certain situations where you'll go to a certain player, especially post-game, depending on whether it's a win or a loss. I know when the team was struggling, we, as a broadcast team, relied really heavily on Roman Josi for him being the captain to come and kind of break down what was happening on the ice for us. But you do have interviews that you love with
yeah.
the guys. You know, I love talking to Rocco Grimaldi because he always
sure.
gives a great answer. You always know you're going to get the truth from him. Nick Bonino sounds like a coach every time you talk to him. So, you know, there's certain guys that, you know, they're going to tell you what you want to hear.
I know for me, like whenever I talk to Roman Josi, I can't look him in the eye. It's just very difficult. I get lost in his hair. I don't know if you have that problem. Hal Gill probably has that problem, but I just, you know, he's got gray hair.
He, you know, there's a lot of great hair in that locker room.
There is.
A lot of great facial hair in that locker room.
Well, Ryan Ellis definitely wins that category.
Yeah.
What's been the biggest difference? Because you obviously will approach different situations, you know, in different ways. Peter Laviolette, different type of coach. John Hines, different type of coach. What was that transition like? Because you didn't know Barry Trotz, so Peter Laviolette was all you knew from the Predators' standpoint. So what was that like for you to make that transition?
Well, I shared this story on my Twitter, but, you know, when I started, when I worked at News 2, I covered the team, and so I had a relationship slightly with Coach Laviolette of him
yeah.
at least knowing that I was a journalist and I was there. When I became a team employee, he pulled me into the hallway before the very first broadcast that I did and said, don't be nervous.
Yeah.
No matter what happens out there, if we win or if we lose, don't ever take anything personal. Like, just have fun. And he said he was so happy for me. And so
right.
I felt like going forward, I felt secure in what I was doing and that I could ask him anything. With Coach Hines, I think he's come in and he's been so great with the media.
Yeah.
So it's easy to talk to both guys.
Right.
And I feel now that I've been here for three seasons, I feel comfortable with whatever we have to ask Coach Hines.
Well, and it just shows you that, I mean, both of them have been coaching for a long time. So
yeah.
they get this. They know that it's a part of the job and something they need to do. But, you know, that was a side of Peter Laviolette that some of us got to see, and not everybody got to see that. Of,
yeah.
But he was, I mean, he cared. He cared about people. So, and still does, you know. And he was actually named the Team USA coach today. So for the world. So that'll be cool to see him on the bench again. She is Kara Hammer. Of course, you can see her on Fox Sports Tennessee. Chase McCabe in for Ryan Porth tonight on Preds Insiders. When we come back, they got a big, 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 big game tomorrow night against the Calgary Flames. We will discuss that next here on Preds Insiders. It's brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Kerry Zire, Remax Elite, Gino Zeiss in downtown Nashville, and Wyatt Johnson Ford. We are live from Boombot's Craft Pizza and Tap House here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Ryan. Welcome back into Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Kara Hammer, all brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Kerry Zaire, Remax Elite, Gino Zeiss in downtown Nashville, and Wyatt Johnson Ford. We are live at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House here in East Nashville. Smashville Live coming up in just a few minutes. The one and only Hal Gill is in the house. He is ready to go. He will be alongside Willie Donick, and also special player guests Corbinian Holzer and Jared Tenorti. So stick around for that if you're in the house or if you're on the way. Get on over here because they got a lot to get into, a big win last night, but a big game coming up tomorrow against Calgary, the Calgary Flames. Because, Kara, if you look at the standings, and we do that from time to time this time of year, the Predators are in the playoffs. The Predators have the second wild card right now with 70 points, but Calgary sits in the first wild card spot with 72 points. The Preds also have games in hand, another phrase we use a lot, on Calgary. Tomorrow night is huge. It's a must-win for the Predators, in my mind, to keep pace with things, and you can move into that first wild card spot and keep Winnipeg, Arizona, Minnesota behind you.
I think it was so big for the Preds to win the last few games at home, winning four of their last five games in Smashville, to be riding that wave going into this Thursday night game.
Well, and it goes back to that confidence that we talked about earlier, that they have confidence, swagger, whatever you want to call it. I mean, they have that right now. And so I think that's huge for them to be able to play a talented team like Calgary. And look, Calgary, you know, they go through the trade deadline the other day, and you had the Johnny Gaudreau. He left the ice, and everybody freaked out. What does that mean? Had to use the bathroom. So that was the whole thing with him. But Calgary, they're fighting for the same things. And the thing that I do get concerned about sometimes, like you brought up Ottawa, and, you know, there was a close game last night, 3-2. You know, I feel like a game like that, that's one the Preds should dominate. Sometimes you don't see that. But Calgary, I feel like, is even competition, tough competition for the Preds. That's where they play their best.
Not just Ottawa. I feel like the Columbus game. Both of those games they should have dominated.
Right.
Talking about it being even strength, I don't know. Maybe they'll just play better.
That's one of those
play
things.
A better team, you play better. I don't know, Chase.
Because they get up for these tough games.
Yeah.
And they know that the energy in the building is going to be different. It's going to be up for a game like this because everybody can look at the standings and know what this means. I mean, 72 points would put them tied with Calgary and can move them into that first wild card spot. And look, we're not getting too far ahead to look at matchups, but if you're going to play that game right now, the Preds would play St. Louis in the first round. I don't mind that matchup. I mean, they've taken care of them in the regular season. I know it's different in the playoffs, but that's a Central Division rivalry. You know, there's history there. So I like how they match up against those guys. But the first wild card spot puts you against a good Vegas team.
Yeah.
Vegas has played much better. But I also like the matchups overall in the Pacific more than I do the Central. Again, you got to play the games. You got to play whoever you draw. You want to be in the playoffs. It doesn't matter. But if you're trying to really break it down, which is what we do, that's one way that I look at it.
Well, I think they're going to have to get in the Pacific.
Yeah. I mean, if they stay in the position they're in, that's where they're going.
Yeah.
But if they get that first wild card spot, I mean, look, I don't see Vegas catching St. Louis for the number one overall seed in the West. Now, Dallas, they could catch St. Louis.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't rule out Colorado, even though they have battled some injuries. So they could, you know, they could definitely still be in it. But for me, I like the matchups a little bit better in the Pacific overall outside of St. Louis.
Which I think Saturday night's going to be a fun game taking on Colorado, because we don't need to talk about what happened in Colorado earlier this year against the Predators.
No, but probably don't need to bring that up. But
maybe we'll have a
But we don't need to talk about Calgary, because, you know, Calgary, that was a rough game on Halloween night. So
yeah,
it feels like things have turned around since then. Saturday night against Colorado, is that the Hammer Cup? Because you're obviously from there, now live here, work for the Preds.
You know, this is funny. My sister came out for the Colorado game, but she flies in tonight and leaves Saturday morning, so now she's going to the Calgary game.
She's going to miss Colorado. But it'll be a good one tomorrow night for her to to see that. One thing that we mentioned earlier that I want to touch on a little in more detail is the goaltending. And for so long, we talked about on our show that you had both goalies, that their save percentage was under 90%. Now both are either above or at 90%. You're seeing the goals against average for UC Saros under 3. Pecorine right at 3. So those numbers are starting to even out back to where they should be because they're getting more help in front of them, and those two guys have their confidence back too.
I think that's key, Chase. They're getting more help in front of them. I feel like so many times you could never blame the goaltending. It was what was happening. How many goals went in that deflected off of one of the Preds players?
Right. I mean, that's what's been so tough, and that's been an emphasis of John Hines is let's focus on defense. And they've taken a little bit away from the offense because this team was putting up goals.
Yeah.
And they still are, but maybe not at the same click because, okay, now everybody's got to play defense. That's a part of the game too. It's finding the balance, and therefore it's helping the goaltending situation. Because, look, we can have the argument all we want of, okay, who's one, who's two. They have 1A, 1B. Okay, who's 1A, who's 1B? Right now, 1A is probably UC Saros. But when Pecorine has been in there, I mean, he got that point in Chicago. He has played lights out. He is playing like the old Pecorine. And I can guarantee you, as you go down the stretch of these last few games, last 20 games or so, you're going to rely on 35 because this is where he gets his mojo. This is where he gets going. And then John Hines is going to have that tough decision if they do make the playoffs, which right now they're in a playoff spot. Okay, who am I pitching game one?
Well, I think that it was smart of them to ride UC when he was hot, but when you start the playoffs, I think you have to go with Pekka. He's your veteran leader.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
And I feel that way too, but at the same time, you got to see what it looks like once you get to that point, you know, who's playing the best. Speaking of goalies, this story with David Ayers in Carolina.
I love
the E-bug,
it.
The
I love it.
Backup
the Zamboni driver.
The Zamboni driver. And David Poile was so kind to yesterday because I didn't know all the rules. And Darren, Willie, we didn't know exactly how all this worked. So David Poile on our weekly hit on Darren, Donick, and Chase explained it all to us. He joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. And he was like, basically, there's a list of three or four guys. The Predators have four, as Chris Mason gave a shout-out to on Twitter the other night. It can't be Chris Mason because he's a full-time employee of the Preds, so it has to be a neutral party that could play for both teams.
Yeah.
That's what David Ayers was. He's the Zamboni driver, but he was the E-bug, and both goalies go down. He has to go in, and he ends up getting the win. And really cool of the Carolina organization to honor this guy that lives in Toronto.
I saw that they even got him a Canes jersey, and they had all these fans sign it for him. I mean, I love stories like that.
The I do too, because hockey is such a unique sport in that you have some random person that's going to come in and play a game.
Yeah.
Like, these are professionals making millions of dollars, and like here comes this guy that has to play goalie. It's the only sport that happens. Like
right?
In football, you know, you either have the backup quarterback, some teams carry three, or you'll have a player that has played quarterback, can go in there. You have kicker, a guy, you know, there's some guy that can kick that kicked in high school or something. Pitchers, you have, if you're out of pitchers, you have a position player that can pitch. I mean, it's the only sport where you just go, you? Okay, yeah, you can play.
I know.
You're in.
It always makes you wonder why wouldn't just a guy on the bench pad up and go in?
Well, the Predators did that before, Jamie Allison, way back when. They put all the goalie gear on him, so he was the emergency goaltender. But the E-bug, and that's a saying that's trending worldwide now, is E-bug. So Predators, Flames, tomorrow night in Smashville. You guys will have coverage starting at 6:30 on Fox Sports Tennessee. Anything special for the pregame show that you can let us know about?
You know, I don't know yet.
We don't have that plan yet.
We don't have a plan yet.
Tomorrow morning,
we wake up, we play pickleball, we go to the morning meeting.
Oh, so pickleball happens in the morning.
It started on Tuesday. I'm hoping it's a trend.
Okay. All right.
We got to get Skillsy on.
Skillsy, can you confirm? Skillsy can confirm.
Skillsy can confirm that me and Mace just beat him and our producer Jack the other day.
Skillsy doesn't like to lose either. Kara, this has been a lot of fun. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming out and hanging out with me at Preds Insider.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate all of you for listening out there and also the sponsors, Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Carrie Zire Remax Elite, J. Geno's East in downtown Nashville. Wyatt Johnson Ford. I'm Chase McCabe in for Ryan Porth tonight here at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Stick around. Smashville Live is coming up next. Corbinian Holzer, the new guy, the new kid in town, and Jared Tenorti, they are the special guests next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.